Hey, Solace Church, so glad that you're here this morning. We have a special guest speaker. He's a friend of mine. His name is Chris Spradlin. Chris is the founder of EpicParent.tv, and he is a teaching pastor at a church called New Hope Church. He's also involved in a business called Orange Leaf Holdings, and he's an executive team member with that organization. Chris has been in ministry for over 20 years, and he served several of those years at a small little church you've probably heard of called LifeChurch.tv. He was a pastor there and a team teacher. So Chris has spoken literally in hundreds and thousands of different venues, in church camps and other locations, and I'm so honored that he's with us this morning. So please welcome to the stage my friend, Chris Spradlin.
Solace Church, how's everybody doing this morning? I don't believe you. That was like a 2 out of 10. Let's try that again. How you guys doing this morning? Okay, that's a little bit better. So, my name is Chris Spradlin, and I'll tell you just a little bit about myself. I've got 3 kiddos. I have a 17-year-old son. His name is Cole. We call him Coltrane, and I need prayers daily. Wow, a 17-year-old. You know what I'm talking about, right? I have a little prayer meeting down here and pray for all parents of 17-year-old boys. Then I have a daughter. Her name is Kylie Faith. She is 15. And then I have another boy, Tifton. We call him Tifton Jack, and he is 14 years old. And so it's a little bit about my family. We have a couple dogs, Scout and Moby Jones. And then we have a 40-pound pot-bellied pig by the name of Blue that actually lives in the house. He uses the doggy door. It's pretty nasty, all right? But that's kind of how we roll. So it was about 2 or 3 months ago, I was on Facebook, and I saw Pastor Matt. He like posted something and says, "Hey, you guys pray for me. I'm in the hospital. I hope that I'm going to be able to preach in the next 4 to 5 days. I'm like, wow, good job. Monday goes by, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It was like Friday evening. He says, "Keep praying. I think I'm going to get out, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to be able to preach." And so I've texted him. I was like, "Hey, bro, no need to push it. You need some help? I'd love to come out." He says, "Man, I think I'm going to be fine." And so finally, I think it was like Saturday evening at 5 p.m., he's like, "They let me out, and so I will be preaching tomorrow." So you guys have like the Superman of all pastors. Absolutely unbelievable. Before we get started, it's real easy to come to Solace Church and to become comfortable with what's going on because it's a part of our daily routine. And so one thing I want to let you know, I think many of you guys know this or knew this, but Solace Church is not normal, okay? It's not normal. So I was talking with Pastor Matt, and he said that over the past 12 months, you guys have baptized over 100 people. That's not happening everywhere. I promise you, that's not normal. It's not normal that it's difficult to find a parking spot when you come to church on Sunday mornings. It's not normal for people actually to sign up and attend one service and to serve at the other. And so my prayer is that you guys will never grow numb to the reality that God has allowed you to be a part of a supernatural work right here in Tulsa. And so hold that gift loosely and praise and trust God that you get to be a part of what he's doing here. So, yeah, you're not normal, all right? Not normal at all. So I got married about 20 years ago, all right? And Jody and I have been married almost 21 years this October. And I didn't say much about her in the beginning because I want you guys to have the opportunity to actually meet her and hear a little bit about her story. So here we go.
When I was 16 years old, my life changed drastically. I was a cheerleader back then, was into sports, most things that normal 16-year-old girls do. And on Thanksgiving Day of 1988, a drunk driver was driving the wrong way on the interstate and hit my family's car head on. The vehicle we were in flipped and caught on fire. From that, I sustained severe leg injuries to my right leg and went to the hospital. They tried different surgeries. Long and short was 9 operations of the doctors trying to salvage what I had left of a leg. And we were up with the decision of, do we amputate the leg or do we not? And I really, even at 16, had a peace that I knew everything would be okay if that was the choice. So we went forward with that. And December 19th of 1988, my right leg was amputated. And then the real work began. Of 16 years old, boys are important, sports are important, looks are important. You're really defining who you are, your self-identity. And I just struggled with, what was that going to look like for me now, missing a leg? How is that going to change my life? And would anybody ever date me, let alone marry me? My parents had a great support system for me. They were constantly reminding me of who I was, and it was the inside that mattered. And you know what? Even in Scripture, in Psalms 139, God promises that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. We're made in His image. I think we limit that to certain aspects of maybe what we look like or our life's purpose or things that we're going through. And I don't think I really took that scripture to heart. I did enter back into cheerleading, but there were always exceptions. Prosthetics back in 1988 were a little more archaic. I had to wear like a belt outside of my clothing with this big contraption, and it just was a really difficult time to try to figure out who I was as an amputee. And even to this day, probably in my mid-30s, I tried to get my identity through even my husband or my kids. And God really got a hold of me, and I began to sink into the scripture that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, not just from my parents' teaching and the people around me, but I really began to understand what I was created for. At night, when I get up to go to the restroom, I don't sleep in my leg, so I crawl to the bathroom. Or in the morning, I crawl to the shower, and I have to constantly remind myself, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so I know as a society, we struggle with our physical image, whether you're a boy, a girl, a man, a woman, whatever age category, whatever lifestyle you fall into, when we look in the mirror, we see something. Do we see what Jesus sees, though? Or do we see what we think the world wants us to be? So I just really dive in and say, what? Mine happens to be a physical handicap. This, they've done a great job with. Prosthetics, come a long way. This is what, when I look in a full-length mirror, that I look at. But I know that's not what God sees. God sees that there's a plan and a purpose, and you're beautiful, and you're my daughter. And I just really challenge us to dive into that and figure out what your handicap is. Is it emotional? Is it physical? Are you really clinging that Jesus thinks you're fearfully and wonderfully made? Or is it just something that you hear, someone taught you? Is it a scripture that you memorized at some time and you've tucked it back in? Really pull that out and start to meditate and understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at yourself the way Christ sees you.
So one time she was at the mall trying on shoes, and it was when she was wearing that belt contraption thing that was really sexy that you saw. And the guy was like, hey, here's a shoe. Let's try it on. And she was really in a bad mood anyway. And she goes, yeah, I don't feel like trying it on. I don't need to, but you need to try it on. She goes, but I don't want to. And he said, but you need to try it on. And so he unloosened that strap, and he went to put the shoe on, and the leg fell out in his hand. And he almost passed out and, like, ran off. It was pretty awesome. So it was about 21 years ago. Jody and I had been dating for probably about 3 months, and we were riding home. I was taking her home, and I had come to the place in our relationship that, man, it was over. It wasn't going to move forward, and I kind of embarrassed to tell you guys why, but it was because I struggled with her having a disability. I struggled with her being an amputee. I was worried about, you know, the money that would cost, and God, what hardship is this going to bring? And so I'll never forget this. We pull up in a driveway, and I said, Jody, listen, I've got to share something with you. And she knew it was serious. She's like, okay, what? And I said, I'm really struggling with your disability, and I don't think I can keep going. You guys are like, what a jerk. You're right, I was a jerk. And gracefully, she looked at me, and she said, Chris, what's the difference between your disability and mine? And I'm like, looking at myself, I'm like, dude, I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't got no disability. She goes, well, I don't know very many people that have lost their hair at the age of 22 years old. She went there. She went there with the hair. And so we got married just a few months later. After she put me in my place. So we're going to talk a little bit about disabilities this morning. And we're going to talk about a guy in Scripture by the name of Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus had a disability. It's a powerful story in the book of Mark. So let me set it up for you, all right? Bartimaeus was blind. And he had been blind. Some people believe that he had been blind since birth. Some people believe he contracted a disease and he became blind later. But the particular Bartimaeus story that I'm going to tell you right now happened around the time of Passover, okay? About a week before Jesus was crucified, all right? And so scholars tell us that at approximately 4 million people converged on the town of Jerusalem, which was set up to handle about 75 to 80,000 people, okay? So it was a big convention that was coming in. And there was a lot of Jesus buzz around Jerusalem for a bunch of different reasons. Some people came in and said, hey, have you heard of this guy named Jesus? Someone would say, yeah, he healed me, or he healed my brother or my friend. And yeah, he set them free. And he cast demons. I saw him cast demons into these pigs. And these pigs ran into. So there was all kinds of Jesus talk. Was he a liar? Was he a lunatic? Was he legit? And so not only did people come to celebrate the Passover, but they came to get the scoop on this guy by the name of Jesus, all right? And this event was so big that if it were happening today, Anderson Cooper would be there, Fox News, TMZ. It would be larger and bigger than life, okay? And so where our story picks up is Jesus and the disciples are walking into Jericho, and they're about to walk from Jericho to Jerusalem, which is about a 17-mile trek, probably about 18 hours if you're just walking and stopping and talking to people, okay? And so that's where our story picks up. If you guys have your Bible, it's Mark 10, verse 46. It says, then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with the large crowd, that's that massive crowd we talked about, they were leaving the city, okay? So they came through Jericho, did some business there, and they started to walk towards Jerusalem, and they're already starting to hear the talk. They're already hearing people talk. Oh, there's Jesus. That's the one that healed Lazarus, you know, raised him from the dead. Oh, that's the one that had that conversation with Zacchaeus, you know, the wee little man, and the wee little man was he. And he's like writing checks to everybody, giving them their money back 4 times. And so that's the kind of conversation that's going on. So as Jesus and the disciples start to enter Jerusalem, it says that a blind man named Bartimaeus, say his name with me, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Here's what I love about this story. There's 4 million people, and for some reason, Mark decided to talk about one person in the 4 million, and his name was Bartimaeus. I think he's saying, hey, listen, there's a story here, and we need to listen up to the life of Bartimaeus. And so like I said earlier, some people believe that he was blind at birth. Some people believe that he had touched an infectious disease, maybe scratched his eye, and that's what eventually made him blind. But there was a significant part of the population that actually believed, because the sin in his parents' life, that there was a curse on Bartimaeus' life, therefore he was blind. So when people would walk by Bartimaeus, the things they would think about him were, hey, there he is. There's that disabled guy that's blind. There's that disabled guy that's a beggar. There's that disabled guy that has had a curse on his life from day one. Here's that disabled guy that nobody can stand to be around him. And so my question for you is, what is your disability? Maybe for you, maybe it is handicap. Maybe you have a handicap that you're struggling with. For others of you, maybe it's an illness. There may be some of you that suffer with depression, and you just feel like in your life there's always this low-grade depression that's always present that you just can't seem to get rid of. We have some of you guys that are 45, 50, 55 years old. You're looking back on your life and you're saying, how in the world did I get here? This is not how I dreamt about my life looking when I was 22, 23 years old. Some of you here, your disability is you're struggling with an addiction. And it's something that has literally had its claws in you month after month, year after year. I believe there's hope for those of us with disabilities in the story of Bartimaeus' life. I'm going to say it again. His name, a blind man, Bartimaeus, say it with me. Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus. Here's what I want you to know about his name. The word Timaeus actually means honor. Bart means son of. And so when Bartimaeus was born to Timaeus and he came out, he said, I am going to give you the name Bartimaeus, which means son of honor. What's really interesting is if you look at this story, the world called him a nobody, but his father bestowed upon him the name son of honor. The world gave him the name cursed, but his father named him son of honor. And I think that in a crowd this side, there are some of us that are walking around with names that have been given to us. There's some of you that are walking around with the name damaged goods. But 2 Corinthians says, no, you're not damaged goods. You're actually a new creation. And I think that we forget about the power of a new creation. What does that mean? When we surrender our lives to Christ, he comes in, transforms, and redeems us, and we are made new. We are no longer damaged goods, but we are a new creation in God's sight. There's some of you that feel worthless. Or there's some of you that are having a really difficult time just getting past your past. But the reality is, God's word says that you're forgiven and your sins have been washed away. I don't know what your disability is. But Romans 8:37 says that you and I, that we're more than conquerors. And what I hope that you can get from the story of Bartimaeus and from his name is that Bartimaeus did not allow his disability to define him. But he could have, right? He could have. My wife, I believe Jody, does not allow her disability to define her. I believe you and I, with the supernatural power of God working in and through us and building our lives upon the scripture of God, no longer from this day forward do we have to allow our disability to define us. I encourage you guys, get out God's word. Write out those verses. Man, keep them in your car. Put them on your mirror. I am a new creation. I have been forgiven for my sins. They have been washed clean so that when the enemy comes to you and you're tempted to be downcast, you can read God's word and begin to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that's the very first thing, right? Is your disability does not define you. Our story goes on. It says, when he heard, this is Bartimaeus, all those people, he's sitting on the road. It says, when he heard, because he couldn't see, that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David. Say that with me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I love this. Many rebuked him, told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more. He said, no, listen, I'm not going to be quiet. Son of David, have mercy on me. All those people, the massive crowd, Jesus could have talked to anyone, paid attention to anyone, but what did Jesus do? Jesus stopped. So you see that guy over there? The blind beggar, the scum of the earth, the nobody. Call him to me. Bring him to me. Here's the thing. Bartimaeus growing up, it's highly probable that his father sat and read scriptures to him. So it's probable that he heard scriptures about a king is coming, about a Messiah that is coming, okay, who's going to be the Savior. He heard scriptures about a young man being born to a virgin. So as a young kid, he had that deposited into his heart and soul and mind. Okay, so you've got that foundation, and then he's blind, right? And he's begging, but he's on this major thoroughfare of traffic where he hears everything that's going on in the geographic region. And all of a sudden he starts hearing about all these healings, right? And how he changed this person's life and how he gave this person his sight. And so he's starting to put two and two together. He goes, listen, I heard about this guy. Okay. My dad read me the scriptures and now I'm starting to hear what's going on. And I'm starting to hear about the healings, people that have actually been touched by him. And that's when he started yelling out, Jesus of Nazareth. He started calling his name, Jesus, Son of David. Now, why is this significant? Track with me. The word Jesus means the Lord saves. Okay? Son of David, the name Son of David means that the one promised in the Old Testament. Jesus, Savior, Son of David, the one promised in the Old Testament. And then it clicks for him. He's like, this is him. This is him. This is the Savior, the one that the Bible talks about in the Old Testament has come to save me. And so he reaches out. They say, shut up. You're underqualified. You're used good. Nobody wants. And he says, no. I'm not going to be quiet because I'm going to stand on the promises of God that I read in the Old Testament that said a Savior is coming. So here's what I love about this story is that Bartimaeus did not build his life on what others said about him, but he built his life on the promises of God. He believed that God promised that he was sending his son. And he did. And that's what Bartimaeus was building his life upon, is not how he felt, not what others said to him, not what was going on, not his circumstances, but he was building his life on the firm foundation that is a rock that will not be moved. He built his life on the promises of God. So when I was in junior high, we would go to my grandparents' house for Christmas, all right? And I remember this particular year that we're sitting there and they're handing out the gifts to everybody. And they hand me this one. And so I rip it up and I open it and I hold it up. And it is what every junior high kid in the world wants for Christmas. A brown V-neck sweater from Sears with the dragon like spurring fire out. You remember that? And so that's when you have to like fake that you love it. Oh, this is awesome. Thank you for this, Grandma. And I took it home and I never wore it again. And then I came back the next year. I'm not lying. They hand me my gift and it's what every junior high boy wants, a brown V-neck sweater from Sears. I got two in a row. It was awesome. But let me tell you what I did with that sweater is I took it home. I wadded it up. And I threw it in the top of my closet. And I never saw it again. I believe God comes to us with a gift of his word. I believe he comes to us with the gift of his promises. And he says, here it is. I'm going to give you this gift. And I think what many of us do is we'll like try it on for a little bit. But eventually, we pull it off and we wad it up and we throw it to the top of the closet like everything else. And what you see from Bartimaeus is he pulled out that brown V-neck sweater and he put it on. God's word promises that he will be your Jehovah Rapha, that he will be your healer. He promises that he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. He promises that he will be your Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He promises in his word, he says, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then what's going to happen is he's going to give you a peace that passes all understanding. God's word promises that in the midst of whatever it is, the storms that are going on in your life, that he will be your Prince of Peace. My encouragement to you, my encouragement to ourselves, to myself, let's climb up in the closet. Let's pull that brown sweater down. Let's dust it off and build our life upon the promises of God and allow that to saturate and permeate every fiber, DNA strand of our existence. Bartimaeus built his life on the promises of God. Let's keep going. Okay? Jesus called him. I love this. So they called to the blind man, like the people that were telling him to shut up, you know, a few minutes earlier. Well, because Jesus wants to see him, they change their mind real quick. They called to the blind man. They said, hey, you need to cheer up. Get up on your feet. Jesus is calling you. Throwing his cloak aside. You can see it. All those people sitting on the corner begging like people that we drive up next to downtown, right? He pulls his cloak off. And the Bible says that he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus and he said, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. He didn't say, man, I just need a blanket because it gets cool in the winter. If you could just hook me up with a blanket, we'd be good. He didn't say, you know, just a little bit of food. You know, maybe some Vienna sausages or maybe some McDonald's. What he went for the big ask, didn't he? And so what I believe that we're learning here through his life is that God has called us to pray big, hairy, audacious prayers. Big, hairy, audacious prayers. So it was Thanksgiving, and this was several years ago, and we were about to pray for the turkey, and my oldest son was probably about six at that time, said, "Hey, Dad, can I pray this time?" You know, proud dad, absolutely, man. Won't you bring it like daddy's taught you? Let's pray for this turkey. So we all grabbed hands, and we're standing up, and Cole, "Jesus, I want to thank you for ladybugs. And I want to thank you for food. And I want to thank you for football. And the Texas Longhorns." We're Texas Longhorn fans. I brainwashed him, okay? "So I want to thank you for the Texas Longhorns. And God, I want to thank you for my mom. And I want to thank you for my dad and my brother and my sister and my first grade teacher and my second grade teacher and my third grade teacher and these green beans that we're getting." I'm not lying. He's like going on and on. My stomach's growling. But then he calls time out. He's like, "Hey, everybody, just hang on 1 second. I'll be right back." He runs to the room and he gets his Bible. Okay, and he sets it in the plate, and he opens it up, and we grab hands, and he said, "Okay, let's finish. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." I'm not lying. I'm like, "Dude, you're done. I am hungry. We are not praying through the Old Testament." Here's what I love about this. Cole did not care what anyone else thought around him. He was bringing his big, hairy, audacious prayer, no matter what anybody thought. Mark Batterson, in one of his books, check this out. I love his quote. He says, "Bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. God isn't offended by your biggest dreams or boldest prayers. He is offended by anything less. If your prayers aren't impossible to you, they're insulting to God." What big, hairy, audacious prayer do you need to be praying today? "God, heal my marriage. God, set me free from this addiction. God, I'm blind. Give me spiritual vision. My kids have walked away from Jesus. God, will you save them? Will you rescue them?" And it's not a big, hairy, audacious prayer like for a week, and then we get tired of it, right? Because that's usually what happens, that we will come boldly before the throne of God with our big, hairy, audacious prayer, and we would pray it in faith, believing. God comes through, praise God. If he doesn't come through, we're still going to pray believing, because he is God. He's sovereign. In control. So what big, hairy, audacious prayer do you need to pray? I encourage you, write it down, grab your family when you get home, and begin to pray that as a family. Last part. "Rabbi, can I see?" "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." What healed him was the reality that he believed God was going to move and work. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. I believe that Bartimaeus experienced what I call a "but God" moment. "I was blind, but God healed me. I was lost, but God helped me find my way." And I know in a crowd this size this weekend, there's some of you that are hungry for a "but God" moment. "God, my life is hectic right now. How did I end up in this spot? But God, bring clarity to my confusion." There's some of you that are struggling. Maybe it is with an addiction. You're hungry for a "but God" moment. "I was in chains, but God set me free." maybe struggle with people pleasing. You want to be able to say, I used to seek the approval of men before I saw God, but God set me free. What is your but God moment? I ask that you would bring him a big, hairy, audacious prayer, and you would ask him to move in your life in a mighty, powerful, supernatural way that only he moves. Let's pray.
Hey, this is Pastor Matt Blair. Thank you so much for taking time to check out our podcast today at solidschurch.com. You know, we realize that it's possible, as you listen to this message today, that God may have spoken to your heart about something. So if you made any kind of spiritual decision, we would love to know about that. You can email us at info@solidschurch.com and let us know what happened in your life today. Once again, thank you so much for taking time to check out this podcast.